Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we have covered how that none of the holidays of this world are commanded in the Bible by God for us to teach, nor are we to observe them, because they actually come from all the pagan religions which we have seen. God has said, you shall not do after the way that they did to their gods. Now, we've also seen how God has commanded the Sabbath day. And let's come to a very important chapter in the book of Leviticus. Now, the book of Leviticus is really quite a book. Let's come to chapter 23. Because this tells us all the holy days that God has created, that God has given to us, that God has said we are to keep. Now, someone's surely going to say, well, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament has been done away. No. Here's a principle you need to understand, which is this. Everything with the covenant with Israel was to be obedience in the letter of the law. That's what God gave them to do. And if they would do so, he promised to bless them with physical blessings, bless them in the land, bless all their activities. If they didn't, they would automatically bring the curses upon themselves, as we find in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and Leviticus, the 26th chapter. You see, because all the laws of God, not just some of them, but all the laws of God are living laws. And they are just like the laws that God has created, like the law of gravity. Or like the law that he created for all plant life. You water it, and it grows. Happens automatic. Even in the desert, even in the Kalahari Desert, where they get very little rain at all. But about every 10 years, they get quite a bit of rain. And all of the seeds that have laid dormant in the sand spring to life. And they come to life, and their life cycle is very quick. They grow, they blossom, they create more seeds, they dry up, the seeds dry, go back into the sand again, and wait until the next rain that comes, how many ever years down the road. So likewise, the commandments of God operate the same way. This is why God said, you shall have no other gods before me. But just like those seeds that lie dormant, if you worship other gods, whoop, sin is going to sprout and come into your life. And it's going to bring difficulties and problems. He also said not to make any graven image of any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or on the earth beneath or under the earth, and don't bow down and worship them, because that cuts you off from God. Likewise, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Likewise, with the Sabbath commandment, where God says the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And as we've seen how many times, the Sabbath day is binding upon everyone who comes to God, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, we've also seen how that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy that as a child he knew the writings, that is the Old Testament, which are able to make him wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have also seen that all Scripture is God-breathed. We've also seen that Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this becomes a very important test for those who say, well, I want to know what days God wants me to keep. Now, there are a lot of people out in the world who are convinced that all the holidays of Christianity are nothing more than redressed paganism, which is true. But then they're not willing to come to the point of believing God, that all Scripture is God-breathed, and that while there was a requirement with the covenant of Israel to keep the laws and commandments of God, that when they get to the New Testament, they begin to abandon it because they don't understand the difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul and believe that the law has been done away. Which you cannot do that, because Jesus said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no ways pass from the law. So what we're confronted with is this. The laws are given in the Old Testament, and we are to use them in the New Testament with the spiritual application of the law. Furthermore, we will see that God follows his Sabbath and annual feast days and uses them to fulfill prophecy. Now, let's come to Leviticus 23. And let's understand something here very important, because this is the only chapter in the entire Bible that has listed all of the holy days and feasts of God. So therefore, we are to take the faith in Christ Jesus for the understanding of how we are to keep these. And remember, Jesus set the example, as we have covered, concerning the weekly Sabbath, that he said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Lord is also Lord of the Sabbath day, never Sunday. So here's a principle that we're going to learn in Leviticus 23 and verses 1 and 2, which is this. The fourth commandment of the weekly Sabbath, God lists first, which then is part of the Ten Commandments. And in listing that first, what he is showing is that the weekly Sabbath gives the authority for the annual Sabbaths. So let's read it. Verse 1, Leviticus 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now let's stop right there and add something very important to realize. Whatever is called the law of Moses, in reality, is not the law of Moses, but the laws of God. Because Moses never gave anything that was of his own ideas, or anything that originated from himself. Whatever God told him, he told the children of Israel. So let's continue on, verse 2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the appointed feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my appointed feast. Now notice the Sabbath is listed first. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. So this weekly Sabbath sets everything apart. Now, there are some people who accept the weekly Sabbath, but they make the mistake of saying that all of the rest of the feast days are merely ritual feasts. And because they had sacrifices on them, since now in the New Testament, we no longer have a priesthood, we no longer have the temple, we no longer have the sacrifices, therefore, all the feast days are done away. But they forget one very important thing, even though they believe that the New Covenant shows we should keep the Sabbath. Sacrifices were also offered on the Sabbath day. So logically, that should be done away if you follow along and say the annual Sabbaths have been done away because the sacrifices have been done away. As a matter of fact, when you read all the commands concerning the sacrifices, they were to have sacrifices on every day of the year. Now, Let's read about the seasonal feasts, and we will just come to the first two in the spring. And then we will proceed to understand more about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now let's begin here in verse 4. Now notice what God says. These are the appointed feast of the Lord, and of means they belong to God. Now will any man come to God and say, that which you have decreed to be, we're going to do away with? Or you just gave these to the Jews? Remember, the children of Israel were the 12 tribes of Israel. And also remember and understand that today the modern descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel are still on the earth. In fact, hundreds of millions of them. Now that's quite an amazing revelation. Now we have a book you can download right on our website here at Church at Home called Judah Scepter, Joseph Birthright. And you need to read that book, because this will give you some very tremendous important background in history that you're never taught in school, that you're never taught in church, that you can't learn of unless you really dig to understand it, you see. And that's because this whole world has been deceived by Satan the devil, as you know in listening to Church at Home video casts that we have with our segments. These are the appointed feast of the Lord, and he appointed them, Genesis 1, verses 14, and set everything in motion at that point. Holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. Verse 5, notice, here's the first one. In the 14th day of the first month, between the two evenings, and that is right after sunset when they were to slay the Passover lamb, is the Lord's Passover. Now let's just jump ahead to the New Testament for just a minute. We read in the New Testament that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world, and that's when the day of Passover was appointed for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to die. Now, we've got a new book coming out. It'll probably be available by the time this segment gets up online, which is The Appointed Times of Jesus, the Messiah. And the very first feast that God brings out here in Leviticus 23 is the Passover. And the Passover day was the day on which Jesus was crucified. That day was planned thousands of years before it took place. So anyone who would say that the Passover is just for the Jews, or the Passover is just for the children of Israel, if you believe that Jesus died for the sins of all mankind, and you know that he died on the Passover day, then the Passover is for everyone who is a Christian. And when we get to the New Testament, we will see how we are to keep it in the New Testament. Now, following right after that, verse 6, the very next day, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. You must eat unleavened bread 7 days. The first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Now they were to offer fire offerings and sacrifices commanded by God to the priests for each one of these days, and commanded by God to the people, and especially the redemption of the firstborn sacrifice of sons and unclean animals. Now, all of this shows the depth of the understanding of what God has given. But in this overview, in this survey, we're not going to go into the details of it. So you can go online to cbcg.org and you can download any of the sermons we have concerning the Passover, concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and how we are to keep them in the New Testament. And there you will find, which we will come to later, a command by the Apostle Paul to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And note carefully that he gave this commandment to the Gentile church in Greece, the church at Corinth. Let's understand that as long as Moses lived, the children of Israel kept those commandments. Now we come to a time when they went into the promised land. The leadership of Moses was given to Joshua, and Eleazar was made the high priest, who was the son of Aaron. They crossed over the Jordan, they came into the promised land, and let's see what was the first thing that they kept. Now we're going to look at a thread of obedience and disobedience, of sin and return to God in the Old Testament, and how that involves the keeping of the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then all the rest of the Feast of God. So let's come to Joshua, the 5th chapter, verse 10. After they got into the Promised Land, what was the first thing that they did? They kept the Passover. Joshua 5 and verse 10. The children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Then something else happened, because there are some other things that take place during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, some things that are very important for the plan of God that also relate to the New Testament church and Jesus Christ. You see, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread during 30 AD, the year that Jesus was crucified on the Passover day, other things also took place. And we will see that those were foretold through the feast days we find in Leviticus 23. So just remember, the Old Testament, Jesus said, we shall live by every word of God. That means also the New Testament, simply because Jesus Christ, as we have seen, was the Lord God of the Old Testament before he became the Son of Man, the Son of God. So it includes everything. See? Now, here in Joshua the 5th chapter, verse 11, and they ate the old grain of the land on the next day after the Passover, unleavened cakes and roasted new grain in the same day. Now, because there was a command there in Leviticus 23, which we'll cover a little later when we get to counting to Pentecost, that they were not to eat of any bread or any grain until they came into the promised land and harvested the harvest of the land which God gave to them. They also ate of the store of the grain, being the grain that the Canaanites had harvested and stored from the year before. That became theirs. So there they had unleavened bread, the first bread that they ate in all of the 40 years of wandering after God gave the manna, beginning in Exodus, the 16th chapter. And another thing about the manna is this. It came 6 days a week, and they were to gather twice as much on the sixth day, and then they were to prepare it for the Sabbath. Now, we've gone through some of the miracles concerning that back in Exodus, the 16th chapter. But here was the first time for 40 years that the children of Israel had bread and grain to eat. So this was a momentous day. Now notice verse 12. And the manna stopped on the next day after they had eaten the grain of the land, and there was no more manna for the children of Israel, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now, all during the time that Joshua was leading the nation and Eleazar was the priest, the children of Israel obeyed God in keeping the feast of God, the Sabbath of God. But their big sin was they did not follow God and get rid of all the inhabitants of the land as God had told them to. And so God left them there as a trial, as a thorn in the flesh for the children of Israel to try them. Now, you see, here's something that is always true. If you don't obey God, there is a penalty. There is something that always comes up which causes you trouble because they were not wholehearted with God. They didn't follow God wholly after Joshua died. Now let's see what the children of Israel did, and let's see what came upon them after they left the faithfulness of the time of Joshua and the elders. Now this tells us an awful lot, because you see, every time a new generation comes along, what happens? The new generations, well, the old generation, you know, they're old fogies, and, you know, their ways are antiquated. And after all, this new generation, we're broad-minded, and we accept more than what our parents have given us. And of course, there's always the carnal rebellion of children wanting to go their own way. So that's exactly what happened here. Right now, today in America, we are in a generational shift as well. But let's get back to the story here. Verse 10, Judges, the second chapter. And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done for the children of Israel. Now, to know the Lord means you must keep his commandments. 1 John, the second chapter, and verses 3 and 4. They didn't remember the miracles. They didn't remember what God had done for them to bring them into the land. No, indeed. So what did they do? The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Now, who's Balaam? Baal is the sun god. The I am at the end of the word Baal means plural, or Baals, many versions of the sun god. Guess what his day of worship was? Sunday. Guess which days did they use to honor the sun god? Well, if you have the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, you will understand. That's Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, all by their pagan names at that time. So the children, that generation of the children of Israel, did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Now think about that today. Have we forsaken the Lord? Have we forsaken the truth of God? Yes, indeed. You go to the segments that we have on Christmas and Easter and so forth, and you see what this generation is. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods, even the gods of the people who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Now, what did God do? Did he say, oh, well, these children of Israel, you know, they just got to have it their way. I understand that. And if they do it in my name, I will accept it. No, he did not. Now, I want you to look at what's happening in the world today, because we're getting further and further away from the God of the Bible, are we not? And look at what is happening. So here is what took place. A lot of people don't really like to read this because they say, see, this proves that the God of the Old Testament was an angry and hostile and villainous God. Well, what do you suppose Jesus is going to do when he returns? Is he not going to slaughter hundreds of millions of people because of their rebellion? And that's the Lord Jesus that everyone says, oh, the Lord Jesus is loving and kind and good. Yes, that is true if you love him and keep his commandments. But if you don't, he's going to be just exactly like he was to the children of Israel here. Look at the world. What's happening in the world? Are there wars? Are there slaughters? Are there disasters? Are there things taking place because people have forsaken God and they've been deceived by Satan the devil and are serving him with all their heart, mind, and soul and being? Yes, indeed. What about your life? Is your life upside down and backward? You want to get it squared around? Well, you better return to the true Lord. The Lord God of the Old Testament and New Testament, one and same, Jesus Christ. Now let's see what happened. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers who spoiled them. And he sold them into the hand of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Is this happening to us today? Look at what's happening even in nominal Christianity in the world. Do you see the hand of God in anger against us? Do you see the penalties come upon us? Do you see people oppressing us and leading us in ways which enslave us to the gods of this world? Yes, we do. All right, let's read on. Verse 15. Whenever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. But God always honors repentance. Remember that. So when the children of Israel repented, verse 16, nevertheless, God raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who spoiled them. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in our generation, whether there is going to be a brief respite or not with all the troubles that we have, but we are facing gigantic problems in the world, and it's because we have forsaken God, we have forsaken the Passover of God, we have forsaken the meaning of the Passover of God, we have called it Easter after the name of a Gentile goddess and attached that to Jesus Christ, and think that we're doing service to God? And God specifically chose that Passover day for the day of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ because he loves the world and because he will forgive sins upon repentance. What about you? What will you choose? What will your life be? Well, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and we have hundreds of sermons that you can download. We have full-length sermon videos that you can download and watch. We have many things there. As a matter of fact, you will get the greatest scriptural education that you could possibly have from any source on cbcg.org. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home and watching church at home, and let the Word of God be a blessing to you, and you turn to God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.